This is a timely message for you, for me, for all of us, a message on time, our times, the times of this life that we are in. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you want to turn there, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is our text and the subject. Now, David said in Psalm 31, verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." Speaking of the Lord, he says, "My times are in thy hand." Everything about us, everything, everyone, our times, everything in our life is purposed by God and in his hands. Time is the measure of our years or days. We are creatures subject to time, and we have a very short time upon this earth. And so Scripture says to redeem the time, spend it wisely. An urgent message from Scripture says today, while it is called today. Today is the day of salvation. You're about to hear the gospel, God's word. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, there may be no tomorrow. The book of Ecclesiastes is a summary of all our days, the life of every human being, all that we go through. And he begins and ends this way, "Vanity of vanities, all flesh is vanity," meaning it's empty. It won't fulfill, won't fill you. It's empty, won't satisfy. It leaves you empty. No matter what you accumulate, you lose it, and you end up with an empty feeling. Nothing satisfies, though it promises, though it makes claims to make you happy. It won't, because you lose it all. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8 says, "If a man live many years and rejoice in them all," that is, he has many good days, "but remember the days of darkness, they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity." Vanity. One of the oldest psalms in God's word is Psalm 90, and it says that our days are like a sleep. In other words, we go to sleep and then we wake up and it's over. So he says, "Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom." Scripture says the gospel is the power of God and wisdom of God. The Scripture says Christ is the wisdom of God. Teach us to number our days, to count the days we have on this earth, and apply them, our hearts, to knowing him, whom to know is to have eternal life. Number our days. If we live 70 years, that's 70 years, as Scripture said, or maybe 80. 70 years is 25,550 days. That's what we have. Maybe. Number your days. They're short. The time is short. Now, there's a hidden meaning in all this. This is probably familiar to many of you. There was a rock group back in the 70s that made a popular song out of this, but very few people know what this means. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's, to everything there's a season, there's a time to every purpose under heaven. Everything is seasonal. God made the seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, all beautiful in their own way and all have a purpose. Winter brings spring, spring brings summer brings fall, and then winter, or a time of deadness. Well, Hebrews 11 says the pleasures of sin in this world are seasonal, just seasonal. They don't last very long at all. They're just seasonal. This is why Ecclesiastes 12 says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come nigh, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." When you get so old that the days are, there's no pleasure in them. He goes on to say that the time to every purpose under heaven. Every purpose. God has purposed all things. He worketh all things according to his purpose. Romans 8, 28. Preached from that recently, that God's people know that all things work together according to God's purpose, and they're for the good of God's people. What is God's purpose? Ephesians 1 says this. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10 says he's made known unto his people the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when it's all over, time is over, time no more, he's going to gather in one all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth, all his people whom he hath saved, gathered in Christ, in heaven, the new earth, together to worship the Lord and be with him forever. Are you in Christ? That is God's purpose. Everything is according to that purpose. Verse 2 says there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time. Who determines that those times? God does. Our times are in thy hands. God says, I kill, I make alive. Every child born, God gives it life. He purposed when that child should be born. Everyone who dies, God did it. Oh, he may send means, but he did it. Now, this is wisdom. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2 says, so verse 1 says, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. That is, if you know Christ, if you know God. Oh, to be born again. To be born again by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by the Gospel of God, is to never die. So there's a time to be born, a time to die, and God has purposed your time, my time. Time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. You know, the Lord said, every plant which the Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be plucked up. There's seed time and harvest. That's what this is saying. Time to plant, time to pluck up. Seed time and harvest. The gospel seed is being sown right now. There are people being born again, planted. The Word of God planted in their hearts, and they are being put into God's kingdom. Every plant not planted by the Lord will be plucked up. And there's going to be a harvest of God's people. There's going to be a great separation of the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares. Which are you? Verse 3 says, a time to kill, a time to heal. Deuteronomy 32:39, God says, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Time to heal. Some are healed of diseases, some are not. If they know Christ, whatever it is that takes them from this world, they're healed forever. Verse 3 says, a time to break down, a time to build up. Right after the fall of man, Cain had a son. He began to build cities, and man began to build buildings and cities. Well, not long after that, the Lord tore it all down with a flood, destroyed it all. And so mankind builds and marries, gives in marriage, and buys and sells and builds, but very soon it's all going to be torn down. The Lord says, not one stone left standing on another. He goes on to say in verse 4, time to weep, time to laugh. You know, chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Sorrow is better than laughter. Our Lord in his Sermon on the Mount said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Those that mourn, those that weep over their sin, those that mourn over their lost estate, they will be comforted. They will laugh when the Lord turns the captivity of God's people, those who weep like Israel of old in captivity to Egypt and in the slime pits, those who are made to know by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the Gospel of God, that they are captives to sin and Satan and this world. And he comes in the Gospel to set them free. They shall laugh. Their weeping will turn to laughter. Oh, weeping endures for a night in this dark world, but joy cometh in the morning. Time to mourn. Time to dance. Time to rejoice. Verse 5 says, a time to cast away stones. Time to gather stones together. When you plow a field, you come across stones and rocks, and you take those rocks out of that field to plant the seed, and you throw those rocks to one side. But then, later, you might gather those rocks together and build a wall, build a building. Well, God's people are gathered by him, and they're called living stones that he puts into his temple. Verse 5 says, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, time to embrace the gospel, is the embrace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. It embraces sinners that come to God by cry. There's going to be a time when there's no more love, no more mercy, no more grace. The door of the ark will be shut. Time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6, a time to get, time to lose, a time to keep, time to cast away. We accumulate much in this lifetime, in these short years. We accumulate much. We get things, but we lose it all. There's not one thing we get to keep in this world. There's a time to keep, and there's a time that it's going to be cast away. Who decides how long we get to what we get and how long we get to keep it? God does. We have wives and husbands and children, and they're a gift from the Lord. But the Lord gives, and the Lord taketh away. According to His wisdom, according to His time, we need to apply our hearts to understand this. The only one thing that God's people get to keep, salvation, eternal life. Those who are kept by the power of God, He keeps their souls forever. Verse 7 is a time to rend, a time to sow. Oh, that we would rend our hearts and come to the Lord in repentance. Ask Him for mercy and grace. If we do, He has a robe of righteousness. There was a prodigal son who was dressed in rags. He was down in the hog pen. He left his father's house and came back by the mercy and grace and power of God. He came back. The father ran to him, fell on his neck, kissed him, and the first thing he said was, "Bring the best robe and cover his nakedness." Yeah, there's a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak. Oh, that this world would shut its mouth collectively. All mankind would just shut their mouths. And then there's a time to speak. What should we say? We should all say together, "Have mercy upon us, O God." Verse 8, a time to love, a time to hate. Gospel is the love of God, the mercy of God. God loves His people. God loves those in Christ, but He hates those outside of Christ. Yes, He does. He hateth all workers of iniquity, Scripture says. He's angry with the wicked every day. Verse 8 concludes, there's a time of war, time of peace. There's a warfare going on right now. Though it may seem like peace to you, and though false preachers say peace, peace, when there is no peace, there's a war going on. It's between the Lamb and the world. And God's people, Scripture says in Revelation, overcome. This warfare, this battle, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. They love not their lives unto death. There's a warfare, a spiritual warfare. And Jesus Christ is the captain of His people, the captain of their salvation. And Isaiah 40 says, the warfare is accomplished. On Calvary's tree, He said, it is finished. Satan defeated, sin put away, God's people's salvation secured. And yet they have a warfare with this sin and the struggle in this world. But they've been assured by Christ that through the blood of the Lamb, they shall overcome. What about you? Are you in a warfare or struggle? If you are, if you're one of God's people, oh, there's going to be a time of peace. Everlasting, eternal peace with God, with Christ, in glory. Amen.